Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, October 19th. A lot of money is being raised for next year's gubernatorial race in Colorado. Democratic candidates have raised more money than Republicans. Benta Berkland filed this story.
Combined, Democrats have raised $3.6 million. Former State Senator Michael Johnston was the first to enter the race and has brought in $1.5 million, followed by 2nd District Congressman Jared Polis with about $700,000. Eric Walker is a spokesman for the Colorado Democratic Party.
That's usually an indication of enthusiasm, and that tracks with what we're seeing nationwide, where Democrats are very upset with the direction of the country under President Trump and the unified control.
On the GOP side, Arapaho District Attorney George Brockler and Doug Robinson, an investment banker and Mitt Romney's nephew, each raised close to $300,000. More than a dozen candidates in both parties are seeking to replace Governor John Hickenlooper, who is term limited in 2018. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
On yesterday's KVNF regional newscast, we heard part one of our interview with Shannon Borders, public information officer for the Bureau of Land Management in Southwest Colorado. She talked about the approval process the BLM went through during its analysis of the Bull Mountain Oil and Gas Development Project. After nearly 10 years, last month the BLM gave final approval for SG Interests to move forward with the project, which will include up to 146 wells. Borders said SG Interests has filed to develop one well pad first, and work is already underway on that project. The so-called Bull Mountain site is about 30 miles northeast of Paonia in the North Fork Valley, south of McClure Pass. The area is bisected by Colorado Highway 133 and could eventually cover some 20,000 acres. Here's part two of our interview with Shannon Borders of the BLM.
I think the most common question that I've been hearing so far is there's a confusion on the resource management plan revision process versus the Bull Mountain Master Development Plan environmental impact statement. Some folks are confused how we were able to move forward with the Bull Mountain project. So I wanted to kind of clear that up and let people know that the Bull Mountain project actually started as an environmental assessment in 2008, and it gave us an opportunity to look at oil and gas development on about 19,000 acres. And as we went through that environmental assessment, we realized that we really needed to take a look at this project on a landscape level so that we could not only look at the resource values and impacts, but also make sure that we had a robust opportunity for the public to be involved. So that's how that project came about. It's based on leases that were identified in the resource management plan that we're working on. So we were obligated to look at those valid and existing rights within the leases. Then we're also working on a separate project as a resource management revision, and that project is ongoing. The summer before last, I guess, in 2016, we were in the North Fork Valley, and we did some public meetings presenting that draft plan. That process is completely separate from the Bull Mountain Master Development Plan, and so they're two different projects, and so I just wanted to reiterate that so that if the public has questions, they are sure to be able to look at maybe at the correct information and the correct project. And a great way to do that is to go to any search engine and type in BLM e-planning, and it takes you to our project pages where you can research project by project. So if you're interested in learning and reading the 8 years worth of documentation on the Bull Mountain project, you can search for the Bull Mountain Project, or if you want to dig into the draft resource management plan, you can search for that under the planning tab as well. And if you have questions, we really encourage you to give us a call. We're at the Montrose Public Lands Center, and we're happy to talk with you and explain anything and answer any question that the public may have.
Okay, and then so in a nutshell, what you're saying is the master development plan for Bull Mountain and the resource management plan revision are two entirely separate things.
Correct.
Okay, even though the Bull Mountain plan is talking about resources that are included under the resource management plan. Is that right?
That's correct. So I always talk about our resource management plan. It's our Bible. It governs everything that we do from the 100,000-foot view. And then we work in down to project by project. And so that's what the Bull Mountain project was. It was an opportunity to look at oil and gas development on a landscape-wide basis. And within that, we approved one application for permit to drill. So that's the well that I talked about earlier. And any subsequent activity would require additional application for permit to drill. So we go from RMP to Bull Mountain to application for permit to drill. And through those processes, there's always a public process part of that project. So whether it's at a public meeting or giving us a call, we're always available and willing to accept comments on projects.
The BLM did not analyze the effects of or the risks created by unregulated rural gas gathering pipelines. I wondered if you might talk about that.
So the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission regulates all pipelines, and we incorporated conditions of approval into the analysis that further clarifies the operator's responsibility to follow state regulations, including gas line and pipeline testing.
So in this case, you would say those concerns were taken into consideration?
Yes.
And finally today, the owner of a Colorado outfitting business and an Indiana man recently paid more than $7,000 in fines for violating numerous state hunting regulations during the 2016 big game season. According to a press release, Gerald Flowers, co-owner of Hot Tea Camp near Montrose, paid $1,512 in fines, and Charles Connor of Boonville, Indiana, paid $5,766. An investigation started in the fall of 2016 when officials received a tip about possible hunting violations at the Hot Tea Camp. The investigation showed that multiple animals were taken without license, that licenses had been illegally transferred, and that hunting had occurred multiple times without permission on private land. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.